when you have a chance, we ask that you fill out a Connect card for us, so that we can be able to be connected with you. I have a few quick announcements for us. The first announcement is Life Conference. I'm so thankful that brothers and sisters are responding, because otherwise I'll be going to jail. The reason why I say this is because I told the youth, I said, listen, if you guys make this commitment to go to the Life Conference, don't worry about the funding. I will help you raise the fund. And then I said, you know, I'll rob a bank if I have to. And so we're so thankful that you are responding or have responded. And look at this. We have raised $7,300, and so we're really just a quick at the five-yard line right now. All we need to raise is $2,700. And so we just simply ask that you'll pray for this group, and you'll pray for this, because the reason why we're sending this youth is because we believe that when youth are given the opportunity to encounter God multiple times, that their life will radically change. And we believe that Life Conference, they will have multiple opportunities to encounter God. And so I ask that you will pray for them, and as you pray for them, if the Lord moves on your heart to give, please give. We are so grateful for that. The next announcement is Good Friday service. I have good news for Good Friday. I won't be preaching. That's really good news. It is an interactive service for us to gather together as the people of God and go through this journey of understanding Good Friday. Good Friday really isn't a day of celebration on Sunday, but it is a day of mourning, a day of silence. And so I want to invite you to come and join us for this gathering. It is a time in which we can worship the Lord together and be reminded about the power of the cross and the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross. So I invite you to come. So please join us. Baptism. If you haven't been baptized, I know who you are. Just let you know. If you haven't been baptized, I know who you are. I'm going to be coming for you. Okay, we're going to be having a nice talk. No, seriously. If you believe in Jesus Christ, and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that is the only requirement that you need in order to be baptized. Now, we recently changed the age requirement of baptism, so I know that there are those of you who are in this room that now meet the new requirement. So, just want to welcome you to take this time to prayerfully consider being baptized. We're going to have our baptism service and membership, welcoming transfer membership, new members welcoming on that day as well. And if you desire to be baptized, please let us know by May, the first Sunday of May, which is May 4th. Okay, so, yes, May 4th. All right, so, I know, of course. Encounter group. What is encounter? Encounter is a place in which we can begin to go deeper. Right? It is a space that's going to be created for us, that a safe place for us to share and to be transparent and to process the deeper life, the inner working of the soul, so that we can find healing and breakthrough, so that we can truly be a child of God that God's created us to be. And so, here it is. We're going to be having two sessions. Okay? One is on Tuesday, two groups. One is on Tuesday morning and the other is on Saturday morning. I just want to let you know that this group is limited to 7 people and needs a minimum of 3 people to start. And so once that 7 is filled up, you're going to have to wait the next month. And the reason why we do this is because we want to create a safe place where people can process the deeper things of life and find breakthrough for their life and to go deeper with the Lord. So if you are interested, don't wait till the last minute. Let me know. Okay? And if, you know, it's always good to join a group where you have friends, so maybe talk to your friends and to join this group. Okay? So Tuesday morning at 10 and Saturday morning at 10. Okay? Nomination committee. I just want to say that it is our membership duty and privilege to nominate people to be our nominee. But according to our church bylaws, we have our committee consists of 5 members, the lead pastor, which is me, and 2 members appointed by the governing board. The 2 that have been appointed by the governing board are Annie and Vincent, and we need 2 to be elected by this congregation. Now, in order to be elected by this congregation, we need the nominating candidate. What are the qualifications of the candidate? That they need to be an active member of this church. That's the qualification. The recommendation is that they should be the person that is serving in this church. They also should be a person that is aware of the different ministries of this church, and they should be a person who regularly hears the voice of God. And so, there is the nomination form in the back. We ask, please take one and prayerfully consider who to nominate, and the nomination form is due on May 4th. And we will be taking an election, a vote, on May 18th, right after each congregation worship. Okay? So it's very important because we're electing, going to be in the process of electing new government board members. Okay? This is part of our membership duty. This is part of a covenant that we made with each other in the church. So I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider and to hopefully nominate a candidate. I don't want to be getting up here and having a conversation with our congregation and admonishing why we don't have candidates. Right? This is part of our membership responsibility. Okay. So prayerfully consider. And the other part, too, is we're going to have a Miramar Earthquake Relief Fund. I don't know if any of you are aware, but there was a major earthquake that took place in Miramar. And Alliance, we have actually a mission group down there that does work there. And so we're not, as a church, we're not asking for more money. As a church, we're simply providing a platform for you to give. Right? And so we're providing a platform to give because our denomination has a wing that deals specifically with the disaster relief, which is common. And so we want to give a platform for you to give. And so we will be able to collect the funds for you, and then we'll automatically transfer it to the common. And so as a church, we're not asking for more money, we're just giving a platform so that it will be easier for you to give. Okay? So if you feel compelled by the Lord to give, please give and write a memo to Miramar Earthquake Relief. At this moment, I'm going to ask that all of you take stand up and greet each other. Before we jump into our message, we have a very special treat. I know all of you probably know Janet and Dennis. They've been worshiping with us since November. And, you know, God has really been using them in this mission field that they've been going for the last 14 years. And the reason why I asked them to come and share, why do we want to send them off as they go and do the Lord's work? But I also want them to share about the place that they're going, because the vision of that place aligns with our church. And so I want to ask Dennis to come up and share with us. Hi.
Good morning. I'm Dennis. This group, I think, is a little bit more comfortable. It's only on the Chinese side. And I believe I also thank you for Pastor Ron, and thank you for the support to share the So, yeah, we joined the church, as Pastor Ron said, on November. And we all know today is sort of a special day, and mentioned, his mention is the crisis-centered caring ministry, primary for people who have difficulties in life, life control habit, and also who are the addicts. So this is a place that was founded in the, 50 years ago in New Hampshire with 360 acres, place that hosted 70 buildings there. Founder itself, the one of the founder that he himself actually was an alcoholic, but later was healed by the God. And since then, his whole life been restored. And the God is using him to start his ministry. This is his major family. So their vision when they start until now is to restore the broken life through the hope of Jesus Christ. And this is the similar vision as our church vision, and which is to restore the identity through Jesus for the sake of. So we know that we are all come to this world with broken, and the deeper inner needs to be healed by Christ and by our relationship with God. The community itself is made of with the staffs and servant leaders and the president. So all the staff there are missionaries, and they came from the outside, and also some of them come from the servant leaders, and they were former residents there, so they been in that community for a long time. When they returned to his mission, serve and continue to grow the deeper relationship with Christ. The resident program is when they enter his nation, they pretty much stay there for 1 year. And with all kind of form of additions or life controlling habits. And the servant leader are those who are working side by side with resident. At the same time, they continue to grow themselves in maturity and in their relationship with Christ. So the program for the residents consisted of the three phases, and those three phases is pretty much divided into three parts, pretty much 3 to 4 months. And so it started as a foundation, and that's to find the true identity in Christ. And they moved to the inner healing, which is the experiencing encountering God. And the last stages for them is the discipleship. So they will start work with the people who just enter in, and then try to grow into the leadership position, and by following the Christ and making disciples. In his mention, their life is pretty much packed. They basically lived together in the community living sense. They do the work that to help them to bond together, and also they have developed a sense of the contribute to the community. And they have a pray and a share, and they worship together, and they share their life journey together in a very deep sense. And they go through the group of processing and also the biblical counseling. And when they are on the later stages, they will start to have a Christian formation classes, which will help them to deepen the relationship with Christ and continue to grow in maturity and in spirit and in knowledge. So up to here, and then we could, you know, the many people in the we have been in. We have been in this mansion for about 14 years, and the people often ask us why we keep back year after year to the same field. But in every trip, we see that we encountering and experiencing the transformation. Not only happened to the people there, but also to ourselves. So we found that our lives, our marriage, and our relationship with others started to change. And even in the level that the level of transformation, that's transforming a completely new relationship and new things with others. And so the many broken relationship, including myself with my wife and with you know, my families, and start putting together and get resolved. So we know this is the things works. And this is because when we going over there, when we emerging in the Christ-centered community, and God is working us as well as God work on those residents and servant leaders, people there. So in that sense, we become a part of the community. And so that is the heart of the Father to his children, because he wants all of us going back in reconciliation, the relationship with him and with one another. And the transformation over there, we witnessed and experienced, and just like what Prophet Ezekiel saw in the plain of the dry bones. Because when I remember the first time we went there and we see those residents, they are really just like walking dead. And they all the tattoos, their eyes lost all the light, they are drawn, and the arm has a lot of cut, a lot of the mark of the nails. And they can even have a normal function conversation with us. But yet, when we return on the following year, or even we just return the second trip on the later years, and we find that they and so that gives us really see how God's work. And this is the verse that I pretty much could summarize what our experience. Because when I read that chapter on Ezekiel 7, God asked the prophet, say, son of the man, can these bones live? Then God himself answers, say, I will make a breath enter you, and you will come to life. And that's what exactly happened in his mansion. So when we return, those people and become not only healed, but they become a God intended what meant to be. So in his mention, things, the seeing, encountering, and the experiencing transformation, and that's the experience called us year after year, time after time. So we went to his mansion. This is the picture we took it the last time. We went to his mansion last time, and we practiced the incarnational mission, which is pretty much we joined the community and joined the junior partners, and we learned how to fully emerge in the rhythm of the community. And through the Holy Spirit, we discern in the God's will what He wants us to do, what the situation He wants us to move in, and be obedient to His assignment. And the assignment is not just assignment from the, our labor work by the staff there, but assignment is how we interact, how we pray, and how we be a friend or be a someone that's sharing our life with the rest. And through those interactions, ourselves, the life being touched by the others while we are able to minister the others on the hill. And that's pretty much to summarize some of the work we do there, because we are fully immersed with them, so therefore we just work together with them. They are. And then last year we did some work on the training field on the corner, and that was the training the broccoli things, the baby broccoli. But the funny thing is that when a couple of months later, that broccoli is grown to the full grown. And so the people over there sent the picture there, and we wish that we will be there. So I think I just follow these things that, you know, just say that, you know, sometimes we're doing the work, we planted the seed, but someone else needs to go there for a harvest. So I will invite, you know, some of you, if God is calling, and if this is a move to your heart, and join us on our next trip, and that we will have kind of together, we'll experience this is the type of experience that we have experienced before. So, yeah, that's my sharing, and thank you very much for that, and pray for us that as we are about leaving in 3 weeks.
So, could you just raise your hands as we pray for our steps together? Father, we're thankful for Dennis and Janet for their faithfulness and faith to serve you. God, they had a heart's desire to bring restoration to the heart of them. So, God, we send them off. Empower them with your Spirit. Will you walk with them? Will you lead them? Will you allow your presence to be made known to them and through them? May your Spirit empower them and enable them to do amazing things. So we bless you and send you forth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Always like to fill up my gas tank. guys are laughing. I know why you guys are laughing. It's because some of you are guilty of this as well. You know what I mean when that gas light goes on? Right? I don't all of a sudden run and think, oh, where's the gas station? I've got to fill up my gas tank. No. Because I know exactly how much gas is in my gas tank when that light comes on. It's usually about a gallon worth of gas. And knowing my car and doing the estimate, I said, I can probably get at least 15 miles on that truck when the light comes on. And so I really push it. And sometimes when the light goes on, I go, okay, should I stop? No, I calculate how far it is from my home to where I'm at, and I just bust home and say, okay, I'll make it. I have enough gas to make it. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she's different. She doesn't wait for the light to come on to get gas. She'll tell me the car is running out of gas when it's hitting below the halfway point. Now, she's very organized and ready, and, you know, and every time she tells me, oh, I got to get gas. The car's almost out of gas. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's almost half a gallon here, half a tank here. There's more than enough. And so some of you are like me, in which we don't really take the time to really want to make sure that our gas is filled up in the car. Did you know that as Christians, we also have a tank that you and I need to fill? We need to fill up our tank. And most of us probably don't know, and did you know that we are actually called and commanded by God to be filled in the Holy Spirit? Oh, once I say that, some of you are already like, uh-oh, it's going to be one of those conversations. It's going to be one of those confusing conversations, one of those crazy conversations. I don't know what to make of it. But we are called and commanded by God to be filled in the Holy Spirit. Now, for those of us who may not have an understanding of the Holy Spirit, yes, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. I know some of us believe God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Bible. Just let you know that's not the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? And God the Father created Jesus to come, came into the world, and to bring redemption to this world. And then last week, our sermon series on the Holy Spirit, we're told that Jesus told the disciples that he was leaving. And he said, listen, I'm about to leave, but I'm going to ask the Father to send another advocate, and he's going to be with you. And so the Holy Spirit is sent by God, requested by Jesus, to represent Jesus, to be like Jesus to the disciples. And so likewise, now we are in the time period, or the era, or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit is the one of the Godhead that is with us right now. Right? God the Father, Jesus the Son are in heaven. While right now we're living in the age of the Holy Spirit. That's the scriptures, what the scriptures teach us. We're now in the age of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells us this, that the Holy Spirit is an exact representative of who he is to be alongside of us. Because last week we said the Holy Spirit is the advocate that was sent by God to live in us and to be alongside of us. And so this week I want to focus on the Holy Spirit, on the topic that most of us are confused. That the Holy Spirit is our saturator, or that the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, if Lord looks up there, we're going to examine Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 20. And it reads, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking into one another with psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we jump into the text, let me kind of set up the text for us. The letter that was written believers in Ephesus was written by the Apostle Paul. This letter can actually be divided into two main sections. Chapter 1 through 3, really the Apostle Paul talks and teaches us about what the gospel is of Jesus Christ, that God chose us and God adopted us, and how he broke the power of sin and how he brought the different people together. And then in chapter 4 through chapter 6, it's really about the
how diverse it is. And then in chapter, a little bit later in chapter 4, and then into chapter 5 and 6, it talks about this putting off our old self and putting on our new self, right? That we are now a new creation, and there once was a time in which we lived this way of death and sin, and now we have this new way of living. He talks about how we're supposed to put off our old self, to no longer be gossipers, but to speak the truth, how we're supposed to no longer be in lust, but to be generous people, how we're supposed to no longer be drunkards, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's such an interesting text here. Because if we look at the text, we talk about what he says about the Lord's will, right? In verse 12, it says, 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, right? Statement right on top. And instead, in verse 18, now if you're a good student of the Bible, you know, if somebody says something in the front and makes a statement about the Lord's will, then you got to pay attention to the verse that's about to follow, because here's the punchline, here's the center, the meat of it. So, it is the Lord's will, then, for us to not to be drunk or to be filled with wine, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Such an interesting concept, this word. Now, for those of you who drink or have alcohol, it's okay. You need to tell me. But for those of you who drink, and some of you probably drink, you know that when you take a little bit of alcohol, there's something about alcohol. It almost runs throughout your whole body. It gets into your blood system. Right? And then it begins to have influence on you. That's why sometimes, you know, when you get arrested or drunk driving, you call in under the influence of alcohol. Right? And then there's the influence of alcohol and being intoxicated by alcohol. To be influenced by alcohol means when you drink an alcohol, the alcohol takes over and it begins to cause you to act a little funny. Some of us who are shy, we become a little bit more daring and bold, and you know, some of us begin to laugh. And then there are those of us who are now fully intoxicated. When you're intoxicated, it means now you're under the full influence of alcohol. And so the Apostle Paul uses this dichotomy here that in order to be filled, instead of being filled with alcohol, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means then to be influenced by the Holy Spirit, and then to allow the Holy Spirit to take total control of us. And so this is the Lord's will. This is what Paul is saying, that in order for us to have fully received the gospel and to live this transformed life, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. We need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And the reason why we need to be influenced and controlled by the Holy Spirit is this. If you and I cannot experience transformation unless the Holy Spirit. Now, I know some of us can just be very strong people and very capable people, but in order for us to truly transform, we do not have the power or the ability to do it ourselves. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. Right? It is the Holy Spirit that causes us life transformation. Right? Before we jump into further, I want to talk a little bit about something that confuses most Christians, and that has a lot to do with the evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Right? This is something that caused debate and confusion. In Pentecostal theology, they believe that the evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit is when you speak in tongues. That's how you know you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, once we get to that, it's a little confusing. Okay, all right. But based on the context of this verse, to be filled with the Holy Spirit has to do with life transformation. That the evidence of a person who has been filled with the Holy Spirit is when you experience life transformation. Right? Because notice, what Paul says in verse 19, right? So after it says be filled with the Spirit, and when you're filled with the Spirit, these are the byproducts, right? It talks about the life change, how you worship, how you communicate with people, how you begin to relate with God. That's the byproduct. And so, therefore, the evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit has to do with life change. Now, why is this important for us? And why is being filled with the Holy Spirit so important for us? Well, first and foremost, we are an Alliance Church. You know, our statement of faith as an Alliance Church says this. It is the will of God for every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. that it is the Holy Spirit that allows us to have life transformation. So then the question is, what does it look like for an individual to be filled with the Holy Spirit? If it's not seeing tongues, then what does it look like? When an individual is under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit, that leads to life transformation. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit and when we're influenced by the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit begins to take over, there's an enabling or empowerment that takes place. Right? There is an enablement that allows us to experience the presence of God. Right? To tangibly experience the presence of God. It's like, I'll give you an example. When we worship, and when we sing songs of worship, and we all sing the same song, and we all do all the different songs, and have you ever sang a worship song that you know so well, all of a sudden you're singing it, and something stirs in your heart? Like you just kind of feel like, oh, you get a little goosebumps, something stirs in your heart, and it feels like it's really speaking to your spirit. And it's moving you to tears. Have you ever experienced that? It's not because the music was good, right? Okay? That has nothing to do with that. It's because the presence of the Holy Spirit is there. Right? That we're now being influenced by the Spirit, and the Spirit's going to take us over to control, and then we experience this stirring in our heart in which we encounter God in a more profound and tangible way. But we can't explain that to you, but we just know that something's different. That we just a little bit more connected to God. And we don't have words to describe that, but we have experience of what that is. When we experience that, let me tell you, that's the Holy Spirit at work. That is the Holy Spirit at work. We've got the Father, Jesus was up there, the Holy Spirit was up. That is the Holy Spirit at work in us when that happens. When it comes to reading the Bible, I know most of us are probably used to Bible readers. Some of us are astute readers of the Bible, and we go through a yearly Bible reading plan, right? Some of us do, and we follow it religiously, and we read it, and some of us, we try, where, in the beginning of the year, we make a New Year resolution, and I'm going to read the Bible throughout the year, and we start off in Genesis, and then we hit Exodus, and we're lost in the wilderness, just like the people in Israel, and we're still wandering the wilderness. And some of us are lucky enough to get out of Exodus. And then we end up in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and we just go, I don't know what how to do. And so we decide just to go read the Gospels. But for those of us who go through this pattern of reading life, we know that the more we read, we become more familiar with the passage, right? We begin to say, I know what this passage means, and then we're pretty sure. And so every time we read it, we're like, oh, okay, yeah, I know what that means. But all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit is present, and you have experience of that, when you read a passage you've read so many times and you know the exact meaning, but all of a sudden it's like these verses just jump out at you and apply directly to the situation that you're facing. And we go, oh, thank God. Do you know what that is?
because sometimes you're praying for someone, and all of a sudden stuff is coming out, and you're like, oh, that's pretty good stuff. They're praying, and you're like, where did that come from? That's the Holy Spirit. We all have experience of the Holy Spirit. Just that some of us don't have language. We have experienced the Holy Spirit in our life, but we don't have language for it. That's why I'm telling you that the Spirit at work in our life. Now, we can all agree with that. But then there's the empowerment part of the supernatural. Did you know that when the Holy Spirit takes over us, begins to fill us and influence us and begins to take over, there is an empowerment of supernatural. What do I mean by that? God will reveal to us things about people, places, or things that we would not have known by ourselves. Right, if we read the scriptures and we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's one gift that's called word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is exactly what that is, that God reveals the information about a person, place, or thing that we would not have known by ourselves. That's a word of knowledge. Now, I've been on both ends of that. I have people spoken to me, given me a word of knowledge, and I have gotten a word of knowledge. But things I have known of myself. But as I share with that person, they just look at me and look like, how do I know? I'm thinking myself, how do I know? I mean, this is God. But I've also had times when people have spoken a word over me that just kind of left me in awe. I can remember a time when I was in seminary and I was working on my doctoral studies. We had these cohorts and we were in a small group, and kind of help us kind of process and stuff. And so it happens that the spiritual director was the dean of our group, and Sam, the institute for human life, were the same cohort. And so at that time we were expecting our first child. Right? I've only told Sam at that point in my life, right? And nobody knew. And so we're praying, and all of a sudden the dean says, I got a picture. I got a picture of a baby. Because they were praying for me at the time. I got a picture of a baby. And I think it's a girl. Right? And then at this point, Sam burst out and laughed and said, yes, he's becoming a father for the first time. Right? And then the next word followed. It says, he prayed for me and says, I believe the Lord is giving me a daughter. I guess I didn't get it the first time, that's why. God bless you for that daughter. But there was information that nobody else knew. For very few people. For God's gift. For a reason. To speak in my life. And as we look at the New Testament, we begin to see all of these supernatural things that happen. That's through the Holy Spirit. The other part, too, is when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we're influenced by the Holy Spirit, guess what else takes place? It opens a longing and a desire for the kingdom of God. When we are influenced and under the control of the Holy Spirit, we long to extend the kingdom of God. Because we begin to understand the heart of God, and not only do we begin to understand the heart of God, we also begin to understand what God is inviting us to do. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we long for the kingdom of God to be extended. That's why in the Alliance we're called the Christian Missionary Alliance. Why? Because we believe that when we have a deeper life, when we are filled with the presence of God, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it compels us to do mission or to expand the kingdom of God. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, you and I will long to expand the kingdom of God. And it is as we're in the process of expanding the kingdom of God, we experience the supernatural work of God. That in the book of Acts. But not only does being filled with the Holy Spirit propel us for the kingdom of God, but the Holy Spirit gives us power and ability to address the issues of our sin. But when the Holy Spirit begins so much and take over, we begin to have the power and the ability to break free of those things. We have the power and the ability now to be set free from the lies that we believe about ourselves all of our lives. We have the power to break free from the coping mechanisms, the addictions that we have. Why? Because now we are not depending on our own power to change, but we're dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit to take over. Be influenced and controlled by the Holy Spirit. You and I, by ourselves, cannot experience transformation. And that's why we need to have the Holy Spirit fill us. Now, this passage here talks about being filled, filling. The Greek word here depends on the use of continual process. That is not one time event. You don't just be filled once, but you continue to see the refilling of the Holy Spirit. You continue to allow the Holy Spirit to influence you. Not only to influence you, but to take full control. You continue to allow the Holy Spirit to take ground over every aspect of your life. Now, some of us may ask the question, well, you know, I believe, don't I have the Holy Spirit in me? Yeah, you do, as a guaranteed deposit. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're given over to the Holy Spirit. Because the way to respond to the filling of the Holy Spirit and to be filled by the Holy Spirit is actually quite simple. It's the word surrender. That we surrender to the Holy Spirit. Now, for those of us who believe that, well, I have the Holy Spirit living in me. Yes, you do. That's true. But if God didn't force us to believe Him, why would God force us to be filled with the Holy Spirit? God will not force any people to change. That has to come under our desire to surrender. And so, if we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not that, well, I'm already a Christian. No. If God's not going to force the Holy Spirit on us, God's not going to force the work of the Holy Spirit on us. You and I have to surrender. That's what He's going to take. For you and I to surrender to the Holy Spirit, that is what we're going to be able to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit begins to take over, yes, it draws us into a deeper relationship with God. It enables us to have a better understanding of God's kingdom. It also gives us the ability and tools to address the deeper things of our life, and also ability and tools to expand the kingdom of God. But only if you and I are the Holy Spirit. And this is the process of you and I. So we don't do it under our power and ability. I don't know where you guys are at. But if you want to know if you're yielding to the Holy Spirit and if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to have influence and control of your life, you just simply have to ask yourself this question. How much has my life changed since I've been a Christian? What transformation have I been experiencing with my life? Another question. Since I became a Christian, how often do I feel the presence of God in my life? How often have I been able to do supernatural things and not share my faith? Because we're living our life based on our own. That's good, only so far. But if we want to experience God like we never have, if we want to be able to address the profound things of our soul and to have transformation, then I would be distracted. But was a younger Christian, I didn't have worries of what the Spirit was doing in me. Because I was a good Chinese church man. So in the Chinese church, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about God the Father, Jesus, Son, and Holy Bible. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one of those crazy, charismatic people. So we don't talk about it. And I didn't have words for what the Holy Spirit was doing in my life. I just know, well, if I want to be a faithful Christian, I just need to change. But if I, you know, then I need to serve God, I need to read the Bible, and that's it. And to kind of work and change my on my own power. What I realized was that as I was trying to change, what I was practicing was more behavior modification. The issues of my soul weren't changing. It was just that my behavior was changing. But the deeper things of my life wasn't. And it wasn't until I began to understand the Holy Spirit that in order for the Holy Spirit to take over, I feel. Because the best way to look at it is if my life was like this stage, right? In the early stage of my Christian life, the Holy Spirit only had access to this. The Holy Spirit only influenced this part and could only control this part of my life. And therefore, that's all I was experiencing. In order for me to continue seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit, the influence of the Holy Spirit, the control of the Holy Spirit, what I need to do is I need to now allow the Holy Spirit to have access to me there into my life. And that's what I began to do in my walk with God, was I began to have the Holy Spirit begin to have access to these areas of my life. And then I was beginning to be able to experience transformation. Then I began to have the Holy Spirit to allow access to these different areas of my life. And the more access I allow the Holy Spirit to have in my life, the deeper level of encounter I have with God, the deeper level of transformation that was happening in my life, the deeper understanding I need to do of my progress in my life. Now, God wasn't going to force me to do all that. I have to allow the Holy Spirit to fill the same place and control. And that's why it requires a constant process. And this is God's invitation. Because we have the Holy Spirit residing in us. We have the Holy Spirit walking alongside us to be like Jesus to us on the planet. Maybe what you need to do is like God is more important. We want to want him to want to wherever you are, you're longing for something. Today is the day. So God, we come into your presence. We know that you've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us the Holy Spirit. The house of the Spirit. So we confess, Lord, that you've done. We don't know what the Holy Spirit is. And it's afraid as well. But we long to have something. We long also for the freedom of the Holy Spirit of our soul. So we long to have access. The Holy Spirit of our soul. Fill that space. Not only does God see you, but God wants you.